Greetings, kindred witches. Welcome to the Atomic Hearth for this Sunday Haven.
Here we share our experiences as we build a modern-day inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, celestial cycles, and the science of energy.
Join us as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works toward building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us.
Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our grove here at the Atomic Hearth.
As always, we are so grateful for this community and for all of you for choosing to spend a portion of your day here with us.
We'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that we are currently here on the lands of the Coast Salish peoples, more specifically the Duwamish and Muckleshoot tribes. We want to take a moment here to honor the ancestors of the land on which we reside. Thank you.
Welcome to Atomic Witchcraft. In this episode, we are continuing our conversation about a fire-based witchcraft practice. In part one of fire witchery, we mentioned the many different flavors a fire-based practice may come in. And while we did a brief overview of each path before, we are going to really dig into some of them in a bit more depth during this episode. We fully admit that these are big subjects, and there is no way we'll be able to cover everything today. We have, however, divided the content into several easy-to-access episodes. A Burning Path, Charting the Celestial, Electric Current, Interconnected Web, Kinetic Flow, and Creator Craft.
Remember, when building a practice and knowing where to get started, the Sapling Firecraft provides a foundation, and each wheel turn builds on that foundation, adding more layers, expanding out to include additional elements, and adding skills ember by ember. This eventually culminates in what we call the Witch Wheel Turn.
In the sapling cycle, about which you can check out our sapling playlist for more specifics, we start with the basics of working with fire, covering color, sunlight, familiarity with the cosmos, and the basics of movement. In the fledgling cycle, the practice begins to spread and heat up. Fire cleansing, candle magic, efforts in creativity, and a deeper understanding of the stars and astrological cycles join in. In ember, we wield fire in banishing, in the energies of our foundational atomic sciences, in growing further in astronomical and astrological domains, and in crafting and charging sigils. In the river wheel turn, skills with campfires and more advanced worlds of kinetics, atomic science, and the stars and planets drive ever higher. And then as the wheel cycles into witch, it's about both specializing and mixing to find the right fire path for you. We'll start together today, rather far from home, and work our way back. From the further points of light and heat that fill our night sky, to our local star performer who brings forth the day, to the events and patterns of our own atmosphere. Fire lends energy to work with in a variety of forms, rhythms, and flavors. And among the practices which capture that energy, Stellar Witch, Solar Witch, and Sky Witch are what we'll now explore.
As we return our eyes to the stars, a Stellar Witch's focus is on the great beyond, learning to chart seasons, days, times, and locations, all by learning the knowledge of celestial placements and navigation. Embracing a little musecraft, the Stellar Witch may also have a passion for the stories we have told ourselves about stars for ages gone by. Constellations and their astronomical myths have long played a big role in civilizations, from reenactments in theater to religious observations based entirely on celestial placements. For a Stellar Witch, the practice will of course include learning about the above, but then to weave it into an actual practice comes in a few forms. Some witches, like myself, source a lot of energy from stargazing, much like moonwatching. Because we can't actually look at our sun, the star closest to us, astronomy allows us to connect visually to that energy from a safe distance, and when you are in a truly dark and open country, you get to understand the power of this connection, and the awe. You might choose to pair this work with astrological exploration, even divination or astral work. Now, in application, this might echo astrology practices in that you find certain spells or even your own energy moves a specific way when certain planets are in the sky, or constellations grazing the horizon. For me, I also like to use it to inform my knowledge of the seasons and our understanding of time. This wheel of time is one that heavily fuels my practice, and instead of using calendars, or just calendars, using our celestial timekeepers taps into and provides connection to ancient practices. I also really like the idea of using constellations as part of sigil design and activation, tying in the meaning or myth to the intent of the sigil manifestation. For example, Omega Centauri, the brightest globular cluster, has long been associated with the shape of the centaur, and in many cases the story of Chiron, the wounded healer who taught humankind the constellations, and who might serve as a good companion for healing work. To get going here, I really recommend developing an interest in astronomy. This is as simple as getting outside in a dark space and looking up, to checking out star charts and joining a local astronomy group. Many have public viewing nights. But be sure to read ahead and follow their rules. Many ask that you bring a red flashlight to navigate the space and avoid bright lights that disturb night vision. Also, check out local science museums who may have planetariums. These are great for daytime learning and to experience the skies of ages past. Now, if it helps, lean into that musecraft here and the stories we tell about the sky above. Learning the story of a constellation and then seeking it out often makes it much easier to identify. Then, once you feel comfortable identifying constellations, planets, and knowing what's a human-made satellite, start really noticing how the sky changes over the year, and in different locations. Orion is a frequent friend, and I love seeing them come around when it's that time of year. Luckily, astronomy is considered a decently quote-unquote normal hobby, and one you can practice quite publicly, so much of the work of stellar craft can be done in the open. How it weaves into your practice and how public you are with that is up to you entirely. Privately, this works much the same way, and you can be secretive about your monthly astronomy group meeting if it makes you feel a bit witchy. Now, when you're ready to close your eyes and feel the warmth of the celestial, the solar witchcraft offers the opportunity to connect with the shine of the sun.
I'll keep things light here. So we've got a whole fantastic episode focused on solar witchery that Ash and Alyssa partnered on not too long ago. But in brief, a solar witch builds a practice around one particular star, our local magnificent sun, building rhythms and methods around its cycles at daily, seasonal, and annual levels. Color magic is an excellent focus of study here, for sunlight's refracted spectrum of visual light provides us with the richness of color that we see. Additional meaningful focuses can be meditation, weather magic, candle magic, and even lunar magic, as the reflector of that same solar energy amidst its own cosmic rotations. Now, I've found that as much as I've built spell work around lunar cycles, it's actually daily solar patterns which I've latched onto even more easily, especially when combining with seasonal emphasis. I'm the kind of person who thrives on my daily habits. For instance, for a long time, I practiced a sunrise affirmation practice as a positive kickstart to every day to orient my intentions and expectations. There's something beautifully hopeful about knowing that no matter how your day is gone, how you'll make it through the night, the dawn will arrive just as promised. More recently, I combined a sunrise practice with a song ritual as part of some attraction work I started in the spring. And let's just say that the recent move that Alyssa and I completed feels like no accident. Riding the daily rise of the summer sun, singing out with intentions for a desired outcome, landed something rather wonderful, even if it wasn't exactly when or where we'd been imagining. So my key tip on getting started with this path is acknowledging that sun cycles can be aligned with, incorporated into your existing or planned spell work to help create a natural cadence, as well as tap into and charge up with the so many great qualities of sunlight. Think things like vitamin D, photosynthesis, and more. And on top of knowing how the sun sets its own earthly cadence with daylight and the seasons, it also houses its own internal solar cycles that emit increasing and decreasing amounts of solar activity. I highly encourage checking out the NASA website and other resources to learn more. And from a spiritual practice, the sun has long held a prominent position in storytelling and mythos. Consider digging into tellings where it makes an appearance. And as always, use the Carus method to find the best source of origin material from that specific culture. A solar witch's practice is well suited to be practiced privately. So if that's what's best for you, it should prove accessible and adaptable no matter how publicly you choose to work with it. Sunrise or daylight rhythmic rituals are something built into pretty much all of humanity, no matter the culture. So if part of your spell work is doing a sunrise stroll, for instance, that's unlikely to draw any unwanted attention. That said, thanks to the sun's ubiquity, it's also an energy world to share with others to make your practice here one in connection with your family, friends, and community. After all that, if you'd like to check out even more great info on all things solar, check out episode 88, Sun Magic.
What if you're interested in both stellar and solar magics, or all aspects of fire in the firmament? Here we find a path that brings back in the air element with sky witchery. Sky witches always have an eye to the world above, whereas the air-focused version of this path really hones in a lot on atmospheric events. Here we really lean into the fire aspect with stars, our sun, and even the electricity produced by storms, which we'll get more in depth with in a later episode. To get started on this road, you can include crafts and magic such as wind, astronomy, solar, weather, flame, atomic sciences. Honestly, there is a wide net to cast here. You can even connect to some fiery air familiars. Lightning bugs, anyone? Or for astral familiars, you can befriend dragons and phoenixes, though these can be tricky to work with sometimes. To integrate sky witchery into your practice, you can set aside time and space to observe fiery happenings. Greet the sun when it rises and say goodnight when it sets. Set that 3 a.m. alarm to witness a meteor shower. Or, like Ash mentioned previously, getting a good telescope and turning it to the night sky regularly can really connect you into this blend of elements. For me personally, when I think of the fire in sky, I immediately go to auroras. I have been fascinated by this phenomenon since I was a kid. I mean, you are literally watching the power of solar wind and CMEs and how they interact with the Earth's magnetosphere. Talk about magic! This past May, we had some pretty powerful ones, and I was able to witness it in Seattle, despite the glaring streetlight outside my house. Even though I was in an urban area, standing on the sidewalk in my pajamas with my broken glasses shoved on my face, all I could feel watching these dancing lights was absolute awe. It also happened the day after my birthday, which made it feel all the more like a gift from the universe. For more information on sky witchery, check out episode 97, An Atmospheric Path.
Charting the Celestial maps out three skyward ways to work with fire, building practices around fiery sources of power which offer dynamic and rhythmic energy, even from great distances. As the sky above sparkles, shines, and flashes, the Stellar Witch, Solar Witch, and Sky Witch provide just a few unique practices in empowering your witchcraft through the energy swirling above and beyond our spinning planet.
And while some crafts may come more naturally than others, like all things, practice will always improve skill, even innate skill. That's why the elements are recurring themes across the Witch's Wheel cycles. It's a consistent building upon skill and relationship.
There are so many ways to lean into this aspect of a fire path. And hey, if these don't spark your inspiration, stay tuned for more episodes.